One of my things about the Word of God is there's practical application to the Word for our lives in everything. People try to just throw spiritual truths in on it, type and shadow. Listen, you can type and shadow everything. Seriously. You can read Huck Finn, The Adventures of Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn, and you can throw type and shadowing in on that. That's what we're taught in American literature, is it not? Find the sub-meaning of the story. You know, I heard something the other day. Most of us, especially from the 80s, grew up, we know who Ferris Bueller is, right? And we watched a TV show the other day, and they were talking about that, and the girl, the boy's sister came to him and said, you know, there's a theory out there that Ferris was just a part of Cameron. And, yeah, Goldberg's. Yeah, that is hilarious. That and Fresh Off the Boat. Yeah, good wholesome entertainment, folks. But anyhow, she says there's a theory out there that Cameron, or that Ferris was a part of Cameron, and that Cameron actually did those things. See, the problem is we can't see ourselves. We can't see the life in the Bible because we're trying to run so many other things through it. Well, you know, sometimes we take things too literally. You know, I've always gone back to Little House on the Prairie. See, TV affects this generation big time. That's why I use it a lot. Little House on the Prairie, when Carolyn Ingalls cut her hand and she's stuck in a storm and can't get to the doctor. And it's starting to get gangrenous. And so she's reading her Bible and it says, if your hand offends you, cut it off. So she's just about to cut it off when they get to her, just in the nick of time. Well, to be honest with you, that would have been the thing to do, because if she'd have been any longer, she would have lost it. But actually what Jesus was telling us is, listen, if there's something you know you're prone to, cut it out of your life. And so one of the things I want to talk about, I said we was going to talk about it because I think that it's an issue that needs to be addressed as a whole in the body of Christ. And not only that, but we've got generations coming up. Right now, I'm sitting here looking at probably all of the younger generation coming up. I mean, there's a few not here today, but... And that is training up our children. Now, I'm kind of in a weird spot in this. I've got one that's graduated, one that's going to go into high school, and I still got one in elementary. And I'll be honest with you, it is a little odd to go to the elementary functions and things, and all the parents there, I'm old enough to be their father. We go to Hoops for Him, and we've got Ashley Gumpf, and I'm like, holy smoke, I went to school with her mom. And so it's a little different. But I will tell you, no one person knows everything about raising children. You want to know why? Because every child on the planet is an enigma. You have to figure them out. And by the time you figure them out, guess what? They flew the coop. Another one flew over the cuckoo's nest. And so we are spending our lives trying to train up something we have no idea about. Each one of my boys have different things about them, and so I have to try to figure them out. And by the time I got Joshua figured out, he graduated. And now I'm trying to figure Jesse and Justin out still. And I'm getting a little better at it. I'm hoping I'm getting a little better at it. But our children are different, and the hilarious part is they're just a part of us. Now, I don't know if you've ever done this, but I've sat there and I look across the table and I said, you know exactly where that came from, right? There ain't nobody in my family acts like that. Now, the other things I'll take credit for. or the blame, whatever it happens to be. But I said, you know, she's like, I know, and I know who you're thinking of, where it came from. I was like, yeah, you can go back generations and find things. And the scary part is when they get a double dose. Because that's really going to stand out. But we are admonished in the Bible to train up our children. Go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. It says, to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I want to read you some comments here on something, folks. Train up has the idea of a parent graciously investing in a child. Whatever wisdom, love, nurture, and discipline is needed for him to become fully committed to God. Now, you know what we read, what we've been taught? Training up is beating. Is it not? Is that not the main message that we have heard in the church for the last 100 years? All we ever hear is spare the rod, spoil the child, beat your child, he'll survive. Yeah, you're right, they do survive, but they carry some big scars because beating is just a little part of training a child. The spankings, and I've got some personal gripes against some of the stuff. I'm not Amish, so I'm not reading no stupid book about how the Amish spank their children with sticks. That's fine. I make a paddle, and it is designated as that. We've graduated over the years from the little rod of correction, and then the final straw. Now, the final straw was a nice one. The final straw was about an inch thick. It was a big old pine board. Yeah. Jesse's the one that it broke on. Note to self, when making paddles, do not make it with a knot in it. They thought I was killing him. And all that had happened was the handle snapped and the head went flying. Joshua and Mom came in here and were like, oh! I really didn't hit him that hard. The handle just broke off. But you see, when it comes to that, I guess while I'm stopped right here, on the discipline, I live with an adage, 3 swats. That's it. And I've tried to take my time because anybody who ever remembers getting, y'all, is there anybody here who does not remember getting a spanking? Okay, I can remember. And you know, what's the first thing you do as a child when you're getting a spanking? Okay, with a belt and maybe a switch, you're going to survive, but a paddle? That's going to hurt. Now, in school, my teachers used to make us bend over and grab my ankles, or bend over and put my hands down here like that. And boy, that really pulls things tight. And yes, I did try the book thing, and that always gave it away. But you see, there's people that grab whatever is in sight. And they use that as an instrument of correction. One of the things we learned, and I don't know if we read it or not, but I'm not going to say that we never smacked our children's hands. Listen, you want your children to have fingers and hands? Sometimes you got to smack their hands when they're babies. We're going to look at something here in a little bit. And any parent who has done it one time will figure out real quick, that hurts. It hurts you more than it really does hurt the child when you smack their bottom with your bare hand, a little paddle. And I lived, and I know they don't have this rule in the schools anymore, but the rule when I was in was it's a wrist. That's what it came to at the end. Now, I remember a couple times. I know I saw the paddle come up above my head because my feet came off the ground floor. But towards the end, it was they could only use what their wrist could. And I'm going to tell you right now, that coach, don't take off a coach, football coaches particularly. They do have some strength in their wrist. That was the only swat that ever hurt in my life at school. But training up a child, it's talking about nurturing, sharing wisdom and love, and we'll get more into what I was going to go for there in a minute. It presupposes the emotional and spiritual maturity of the parent to do so. In other words, you need to be mature enough to do it. Angela and I both stopped and laughed when Joshua, how old would he have been when he said that? He said, you know what? He's like 7 or 8. He says, I can't wait to grow up and have kids. And we're like, really? Why? So I can spank them. And we would say, buddy, you know what? It's really not as fun as you think. So there's a maturity that has to come with disciplining a child. And the problem is a lot of parents were never given the opportunity to mature because their parents never matured. All we ever had in our head was to train up a child means to beat them. Take a stick, switch, belt, strap, paddle, hairbrush, broom, whatever happened to be handy, and beat your child with it. Today, we all know a lot of that stuff is called child abuse. It was labeled, would have been labeled as child abuse back then, too. Just finally, somebody stood up. In the way he should go is to do the training according to the unique personality, gifts, and aspirations of the child. Did you hear this? In the way he should go is to do the training according to the unique personality. What did I just tell you about your children? They all have a unique personality. Justin is probably by far our strongest willed. That boy can take a beating all day long and not shed a tear. What's the one thing you don't tell your dad after you just got spanked? That didn't hurt. That child got spanked and then turned around and said, well, that didn't hurt. I'm like, how could that not have hurt? So the unique, now he still gets them from time to time, but we've learned, okay, that doesn't affect him. We'll hit him where it really hurts. There's no TV. He loves television. Now the downside is when he's grounded from television, he's allowed to read. He loves reading Calvin and Hobbes. And those of you that grew up reading Calvin and Hobbes know Calvin needed a few spankings. So, and plus he's got 2 older brothers that don't help him out much in those areas, talk him into things. Now let me finish this. It also means to train the child to avoid whatever natural tendencies he might have that would prevent total commitment to God. For example, a weak will, a lack of discipline, a susceptibility to depression. Here, let me tell you what happens when people get saved. My past is past and I'm never going to bring it up. Listen, my past is past. But if I were to be honest and sit and look back at my history of my family, I can tell you there's a common thread coming through my family. In my family, alcoholism is number one. I tried to avoid it, but I fell right into it. So I avoid alcohol completely because, and I've told my sons, I've told them what kind of person I'd become. So to sit there and say, well, you know what? You know, a bad temper, you know, I had this temper and I just, you know, my family don't ever need to know about it. Yeah, they do. Your children need to know. You know why? Because they have your DNA. and it is in your makeup. Well, Pastor, I believe that's all. You keep that up. You try to keep remembering the spiritual side of it when your child or you are dealing with that again. I'm just going to be flat out honest, okay? We've taught for years, well, we can cast those demons out. You can break generational curses. But guess what? You got to stay on it. Because Jesus taught that when you cast a demon out, what's he do? He goes around looking for another home. And then he's like, well, you know what, man? I loved it at Rob's place, man. I had it. And so he comes back. He's like, hey, whoa, dude, he straightened up, made the bed, mopped the floors and everything. I'm moving back in. This time I'm going to make sure I ain't getting kicked out. See, so if we're not honest with our children about the things that we endured and have overcome and struggles, we're setting them up to face it thinking they're the only one.
Well, I never dealt with it. You know, I've got family members who have said, well, I never did it, and I know for a fact they did.
So lying about it just because you're now holy does not help your children. My goal as a father is to make my children better than I ever was. That should always be the goal of every parent. I'm not saying drive them insane. Let them be children for starters, right? You know, Joshua, I remember when he was, I can't wait till I'm 18. Joshua, how's 18 been treating you? Well, you passed it. Would you like to go back to about 8 years old? How many of us would like to go back to about 8 years old? You know, Scooby-Doo was my biggest worry. What rerun were they going to put on cartoons on Saturday morning? Well, I told him, I said, son, enjoy your time now, because when you're 18, you're a man forever. Enjoy being a little boy, doing the stupid things that little boys do. I'm sure I had two sisters. I know little girls do stupid things too. Little boys just have a tendency to amount more stupid things under their belt. I'm just saying, we got one that was hanging from the gas pipes in the basement at 3 years old. And I remember a few things his father did and his brother. So, little boys do stupid things. So to train your children involves so much more than just corporal punishment. It means sitting down talking to them. When you catch them in something that they shouldn't be doing, instead of grabbing a belt or a paddle, sit down and talk to them. You know what? I remember when I made that same mistake. I remember the day I opened that can of worms. And I'm going to tell you, this is what happened. Because guess what? We're going to make our own decisions, aren't we? How many of us, our parents told us a few things, but we went and did our own thing anyhow, right? We opened up Pandora's box. We had to do it. So when my children do things that are stupid, well, I'm going to tell them that it was stupid, but it's not going to stop my love for them, and it's not going to ever stop that I can't speak into my children's lives. But I have to make sure that I'm not trying to control it. Because, you know, one of the worst things you can do for a child is to never let them make a decision. They have to be allowed to make mistakes. I don't believe that, Pastor. You just keep believing your way, and when your child makes a whole bunch of mistakes, I want you to remember the mercy and the grace of God. Mistakes are a part of life. I know it sounds like I'm down on spanking. No. My children have gotten their fair share. But we only, see, we disciplined our children with the paddle for rebellion. I don't believe
that driving your bicycle into the mailbox and breaking the bicycle is an offense punishable by spanking. I know parents who did that. You did something you didn't mean to do and you got spanked for it. That's abuse. You don't know what you're doing. Rebellion, however, if I tell my child, don't do something. Okay, well, let's say if I told Jesse, I said, Jesse, don't you dare take my truck out on the road. And Jesse decides at 15, he's going to take my truck and drive down 42. And he's in a wreck. Now, I can probably bust his butt. But at this age, I don't know that it's going to do what it needs to do. So it will have to be something different. You have to make your discipline match what was done. If the child is trying to make you breakfast and they make a mess in the kitchen, they break your favorite glass or your favorite bowl that your great-great-great-granny bought, who cares? Yeah, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be heartbroken about the thing. What's more important? The stupid bowl that your great-great-great-great-granny would say, it's a bowl, dear. It's just a bowl. That's a child. That lives forever. You can buy another bowl, right? But you can never replace the child. Hence, the promise is that proper development ensures the child will stay committed to God. Training. We train our children every day, whether you're doing something or not. Husbands, how you treat your wife is going to be how your son treats his wife. Well, I ain't ever talked to him about that. He watches you. And anybody who is flat out honest in their relationship will admit, you don't always get along. Is there anybody in here who has always gotten along? Okay, I'm so glad to see people, and Kyle not raising his hand, because I got a feeling Heather was probably about to backhand him. He wanted to. I can see her nails digging. No, she's not hurting him. We don't. Nobody gets along all the time. But how you continue to love his mother is more important. How, when he or she makes a mistake, and it can be a big one, you know, I actually know some people who have been through here who have done this very thing. But I was watching Last Man Standing. I just love that show. Can't stand the fact that the one Marine on the show is a supporter of all that Marine Corps stands against. But on the show the other night, the one most selfish child started going down to a homeless shelter. And there she met a young lady. The girl was 25. And she just assumed that, well, you know, you got wild and did whatever, and you know, you just ended up homeless. And it turned out at 17, the girl ended up pregnant. She got pregnant at 17. And I know some of you have experienced this. Her mom kicked her out. That's what we were taught. See, that is not discipline. That is not love. That is, you embarrassed me. Get out. That's exactly what that is.
So at 17, she is now homeless and goes to live with her grandmother, who took her in. And her grandmother dies. And so she lives in the car. Child services come and take the child. She ends up in a homeless shelter, trying to get back on her feet. I would like to say that it was a totally made up, but I know there have been people in here who have told me they did it. And they aren't repentant of it. I'm like, seriously, do you not understand the love of God? When I played the whore, God said, I'll take you back. And I just use that word meaning I sold myself for a good time. But yet we think the discipline is, gotta be tough love. Well, you know what? We've gone overboard on tough love. There's times to teach lessons. And then there's time to love. See, the Bible does not teach us to be obnoxious jerks. The Bible's trying to teach us to be loving parents the way God loves. I'll be honest with you. Of all the stupid movies that we make up on TV, and I'm going to throw the Christian things in there because everybody wants to be about lovey, 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 lovey. Why doesn't somebody do a real one on the prodigal son? Why don't they do a movie about how the father loved his son, knowing what he was doing so much that he continued to pray for him and hope and look for him. And then when he came back with pig dung on him, he ran. The old man ran to him and hugged him and kissed him. I'm sure after kissing him, he's like, okay, now you need to go get a bath, boy. But he hugged him and he kissed him. And he knew that that child had to go and make that mistake. He knew what he was going to do. There are some good shows out there that talk about the proper way of tough love. But tough love is not kicking somebody while they're down. I'm sorry, that doesn't make us any better than a flock of chickens. If you ever had chickens, you know what I'm talking about. One of them gets sick. One of them maybe got their foot stepped on by you when you were going in to collect eggs and you hurt its foot, and so now it's gimpy and it's hobbling around in there. Just because of that, the rest of the chickens will peck at it until it's dead. They turn on it. We become chickens. We turn on those who need us the most. Instead of being like the antelope or the wildebeest, that when there's the old and the young and the injured, instead of rallying around them and protecting them from the lions and the hyenas, we go ahead and make it a little worse. Well, that's discipline. What part of the intelligence boat? We fell off of it. If we think that beating somebody and kicking them while they're down ever lifts them up. You need to understand something. Even in the Marine Corps, they understood you can only browbeat somebody so much. You can only push them so much. And then first off, you got to back off. And then once you're done pushing, boot camp only lasted for 3 weeks or for 3 months. It came to an end. Now there's always those jerks that thought they were drill instructors and they were whatever. They were usually the first ones. We always said, you'll be the first one to die if we have to go into battle. And the bullet's coming from the back. Friendly fire. Because they never knew when to back off. I heard a guy talking one time about his wife. He's like, oh, my wife is just She's always on me about this. And his wife says, well, you know, honey, I'm your sandpaper. He's like, yeah, but even a carpenter knows you got to lift the sandpaper up from time to time to see what you've done. It's the same thing with our children. You can keep the pressure on, but you got to back off to see, hey, okay, we're right where we need to be. Now, go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, go to verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now the Apostle Paul is talking to children who are being raised up in godly Christian homes. Okay? Why? Because not everything that we do in the church will actually translate and work out there in the world. There are discipline measures that will work fine. But our goal is to raise our children up to love God. Okay? Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise. And that promise being that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Honoring your parents goes beyond opening the door, letting them sit first, letting them have the biggest plate, whatever, the biggest chicken leg. And I say that because there's a whole pot of them in there. And so I'm not too disappointed that so many people decided to stay home this morning. There's more for me. Anyhow, I'm just teasing. It meant to take care of them when they could no longer take care of themselves. Now, I understand that today there are diseases you cannot take care of at home. But you know, Brooke's grandfather on her dad's side, how long did he have? 12 years. And the family took care of him at home. Yeah, he had Alzheimer's. 12 years he was taken care of at home. He could be a hoot. I mean, the man jumped in his truck, snuck out the door, jumped in his truck, and they didn't know where he was at until the police called from Fort Wayne, Indiana. And he lives outside of Iberia. So they're like, okay, new lesson. But they let him stay at home. When I worked in remodeling nursing homes, do you know how many of those patients would come in? Their kids didn't want to take care of them. Didn't want to do anything for them. Well, I can't do nothing for you. Yeah, you can. You can do something. You don't have to carry all the weight. They split it up. And they even had another nurse came in too from time to time? Yeah, some other people. Yeah, and his wife is still living. But if we take care of our parents as children, the Bible says we will have the promise of a good long life. Now you've heard me say, listen, if I can't get around, what's the point in being 120? You know, we got a lot of, when that message came out years ago back in the early 80s, people, I'm going to live to be 120, I'm prophesying, I'm speaking, I'm believing. Listen, dude, if I can't go out and mow my grass, or I can't go out on my front porch and enjoy a glass of iced tea, Lord, just take me now. I don't want to be 120 laying in a bed with tubes shoved up my nose. That ain't living. And as much as I love my dad, when he was an electrician, he told us, he told me specifically, he said, if anything ever happens and I'm electrocuted, pull the plug. I'm still a little boy. Huh? But he had friends who were electrocuted. And he said, that is not a way to go. I'm not alive. Just let me go. So that I've told my family, listen, if there ain't no brain activity, which, I mean, there's been some
accusations there anyhow. But if the machine isn't going beep, 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 just go ahead and let it go. But that doesn't mean come to my bedroom at night with a pillow, okay, boys? And you fathers, verse 4, and you fathers. See, today there is a major, major attack on fathers. There's been an attack on the fathers for a very long time. But anymore, we're trying to take away the role of the father. Women think they can be fathers. Can I ask you women in here, do you know how to be a man? Do you know what it's like to be a man? Thank you. No, you don't. And I can't tell you what it's like to be a woman. And I don't want to find out. God created us both. Here, I'm going to tell you, I'm not up here attacking homosexual couples, but I need you to understand something. Two dads can't raise a little girl. Two moms, I don't care what you call yourself, I'm the husband, I'm the wife. Give me a Pentecostal break. Even nature says, you die. Has anybody ever paid attention to Ice Age, the first one? To the two rhinos that like their salads? Did you ever figure it out? They're gay. And guess what? There's no recollection of them in the fossil. What is it, fossil index? I think it's the word I'm looking for. Because they died out. But we say today, it only takes two people. No, it takes a mom and it takes a dad. Because believe it or not, we are both. My children need their mother as much as they need me. And they need me as much as they need her. So it's ludicrous for us to sit here and say, well, that two guys can raise a little girl. A single guy can't raise a little girl. She's got to have that motherly influence in her life. It's got to be. Just like a single mom can't raise a little boy by herself. Somewhere along the line, there has to be a man, whether or not she's married to him, who will take the little boy and say, hey, I'll spend some time with you. But you know what happens today when an older guy wants to spend some time with a little boy? You're a pervert! You're a pervert! Really? It's the first thing we cry, that the man is a pervert for doing what? And I'm not talking, it never even touches him. But for taking an interest. What does an old man got to do taking an interest? It's called a dad. It's the fatherly instinct that kicks in. But the problem is, over the years, that has been broken down. Dads don't know how to be dads anymore. Things get tight, get a little bit tough, they're gone. And it's because of stupid ideologies. Now, the Apostle Paul is dealing with the men. In this particular case, he said, fathers, do not, well, let me go back into it. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. The word wrath breaks down. Do not bring them to resentment. In other words, there's a balance to us being rough and gruff. There's only so much of that a young boy can take. Well, I live, you know, if we will pay attention to what society, well, we need Bible characters on here. Fresh off the boat the other day, folks. You need to watch out if it comes back up. He's trying to be his dad. My dad worked this, he did that. And my dad made me work for everything. And then his mother said, and how was your relationship with your father? Because all his dad knew was to work hard. Why? Because that's all his dad knew. Listen, if you haven't figured it out, today is not 1815. It's not even 1915. Things are totally different. 100 years ago, there were a handful of cars on in this country. Now we've got enough cars on the road for everybody in the country to have one. And that includes the children that can't drive yet. Nothing is the same. So why do we keep thinking that we can keep training our children like this instead of loving them and bringing them up? It says, you know what? You messed up, but I still love you. And I'm not saying you got to agree with sinful lifestyles. I've told my boys, listen, it's your decision, but I don't agree with it. And I tell them why. There is a time and a place for do it because I said. And then there's a time to sit down and say, here's why you don't want to do that. You know, if you're trying to teach a child or anybody about mechanics, and if they have any kind of mechanical mind, they want to know why you don't do that. Why don't I want to turn that screw? You just don't touch it. Because I said. Do you know what you just did? Thank you. You just made that the fruit on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They are going to touch that screw. But if you take the time and say, okay, you know, that little screw adjusts the hydraulic pressure on this machine, and a 16th of a turn bumps it up 500 pounds. Guess what happens? You over push it too far. You're going to blow a hose somewhere, and you might be standing in front of it. So take the time. Sometimes you need to tell them why you don't do this. Not just because, well, I said, and it's the way it's always been done. My pastor in North Carolina, she was saying that, you know, she had always watched her mother cook tea in this one particular pan. And said she had this old ceramic plate that she put on that pan to boil the water and to steep the tea. And so she said, when I got married, I did the same thing. I found me a pan, and I put the lid on there. And then one day she thought about it, and she said, Mom, why do you always use that plate? The tea doesn't taste any different. She says, Honey, I never had the lid to that pan. That was why. She just did it because she saw it. And she thought it was this great ancient wisdom. And the truth of the matter is, she just never had the lid. Let me read you something about this. Two things are necessary for the proper teaching of children: a right attitude and a right foundation. Most of us without Christ did not have the right foundation. Most of our parents never had the right foundation. We jumped in, and you know what the first thing we were taught? Spare the rod, spoil the child. Beat a child and he will not die. Somewhere along the line, wisdom with that got thrown out.
An atmosphere seeking or reeking with destructive criticism, condemnation, unrealistic expectations, sarcasm, intimidations, and fear will provoke a child to wrath or resentment. In such an atmosphere, no sound teaching can take place. Did you hear that? And the man, that just gives his initials, but I did check in on him a little bit, and he actually teaches on family dynamics. And that's what he's saying after studying families. Without the right foundation of Christ, you're going to have people making things up. Just do it because I said to do it. You know, everybody in the world seems to think that in the military you have to do everything you're told. But did you guys realize that you do not? You have the ability to step back, but the charge that they're going to hit you with, disobedience to a lawful order. If it's not lawful, I don't have to obey it. If my CO told me to burn down my shop, I don't have to do it. If he told me to kill my platoon sergeant, I don't have to do it. It's not lawful, and I will not burn. But what we got going through the centuries has been, do it because I'm your dad and I said to do it. Now this usually starts happening about 11, 12, 13, right? Why? Why? Sometimes you just need to say, just do it and I'll explain it later. I don't have the time to tell you why to do it. Just do it and watch. But make sure you tell them why. Is there anybody here who has never been inquisitive about something? You never wondered how something worked. You never wondered what was behind that door. Do you know how many old barns and old houses I've been in? Walked past no trespassing signs. Some of them I figured out why. There's a part of us that wants to know things. And that is a part God put in us, is to ask those things. So those of you that are raising your children and have yet to have children yet, when your children ask you something, don't just say, because I said. There is a time that has to happen, but I'll tell you later. So many bosses today just do it because I said to do it. You know, I knew a lieutenant in the Philippines. They're driving on the road through the jungle. It's rainy season, so just so you know, it rains for about 3 months without stopping. We walked in our shop, in our area. You couldn't see where Subic Bay began and our shop was because we walked across on pallets stacked up to go from our barracks to the shop. I think there was places we had three pallets. And anyhow, this lieutenant, and I always had a problem with lieutenants because they come out thinking they're God's gift to the Marine Corps. They don't know anything, and yet they know everything because they've got a college degree. And this guy pulled that. The Lance Corporal said, sir, we need to get out and check this creek. He said, Lance Corporal, I'm giving you an order. Drive through that creek. Sir, we need to check this creek. He threatened to write him up. Lance Corporal said, aye, aye, sir. And went and poof. Turns out the hole was 8 foot deep. Marine Corps Hummers can ford water that is 6 foot deep. Not 8 foot. Guess who got burned?
the lieutenant. He had to pay for the $85,000 Hummer. See, sometimes asking why isn't always a bad thing. And guess what? I've learned sometimes my children do know a little bit more than I do. There was one time I remember arguing with Joshua. I don't know how old he would have been, maybe 3 or so. And he said, combines have hitches on them. Combines have hitches. I said, combines do not have hitches. And I'm sitting over Bob and Karen's one day, and they'd actually just gotten a newer combine. And Bob starts laughing when I'm telling this story. I'm like, what's going on? He's like, well, Art, he said, it's not really a hitch, but there is a loop on the back axle now so that you can hook the header cart. And my 3-year-old knew this, and I didn't. So sometimes our children do have a little more knowledge about things. And particularly sometimes with computers and music, I'm just let them, I'll assume you know what you're talking about. And unfortunately, my children have a side of me that assumes that it knows everything, and we find out we don't know anything. Let me finish this up and I'll wrap up. The positive alternative would be an atmosphere rich in encouragement, tenderness, patience, listening, affection, and love. In such an atmosphere, parents can build into the lives of their children the precious foundation of knowledge of God. Let me ask you a question. Somebody's trying to tell you about God. We know that the Bible says God is love, right? I want to talk to you about love. Man, can I tell you about the love of God? He loves people so much he kills them. He hates people so much that he destroys them with earthquakes and fire and brimstone. Do you want to know my God? No. No, thank you. You're no different than the Mayans, in my opinion. Here, let's go to this volcano and let's sacrifice all the virgins. Feel sorry for all the dudes when it came time to get married. Hey, where's all the women? Oh, we sacrificed them so the volcano wouldn't explode. Now, today we know that that is just moronic. It's gonna explode. There are people that have tried to tell others about the love of God and they're so full of hate and bitterness. I don't want to know that God. I don't want to know that person. I want to know the God of love, the one my Bible's telling me about. My Bible says God is love. Well, what about all those people in the Old Testament? You really want to know about all those those people in Canaan? God always sent somebody to him to tell him to repent. Always. Well, I didn't see anybody going ahead of the Israelites when they went in. Well, we don't have all the world history in our book. The Jews were not the only people who knew Jehovah. Remember this old man called Jethro? Moses' father-in-law? You do know he was a high priest that worshipped Jehovah. There's a whole group of people, and they were descendants of Abraham. Go figure. There was a lot more going on than what the Bible tells us. God always sends somebody to pull people to repentance. He did it for Nineveh. He did it for everybody. He always. When somebody dies and they have not, to my knowledge, accepted Jesus Christ, the one thing I do rest in, God gave them a chance. Everybody gets a chance. God loves us so much, he lets us choose. I choose free will, but I happen to choose to serve Jehovah. And I'm coming to know
this God as a God of love. Not a God waiting for me to mess up so that he can drop the hammer on me and rejoice and have a party in heaven. I caught him. Well, I didn't make it really hard. You see everything. So what joy is it to him? None. I'm going to stop here. Because actually, I only got through two of the scriptures. And we're going to go into some more. But what I'm telling you, folks, listen. I know we got grandparents, great-grandparents, parents, parents-to-be down the road. We've got every walk in here right now. And just because you're a grandparent or a great-grandparent doesn't mean that you stop speaking into your children's lives and your children's children. I taught you a couple years ago that a good man, the Bible says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Now, it is talking about if he's been good with his finances and stuff, he leaves enough that his grandchildren can have a piece. But a good man will teach his children's children and so forth. Evil men don't know how to be good. And people that have been browbeat, that God is just waiting for them to mess up. Honestly, there's times I just like to slap them. They don't know what they're talking about. My Bible says God so loved us. He loved us so much that he sent his son to pay the price. I heard part of a message the other night that the person believes God told them that in order to reach a certain age group, which is younger, they had to change who they were. They had to change their physical, outward stance, their hair, their dress, all of this, instead of being who they were. The man's a great preacher. But when I heard that, and I was like, God, what am I saying to this generation? Be somebody else. That's exactly what I'm saying. No, I'm telling you, be yourself. Be who you are. There's days I dress like a red. Most of the days through the week, you will not, I promise you, you will not recognize me. I wear a ball cap. They're camouflaged, they're dirty, work boots, jeans. Because I'm doing something and I'm not ripping up good clothes. I can become all things to all people without changing who I am. I don't need to change who I am to relate to my sons. For my sons, I want them to be who they are. Because I remember what it was like for people to say, no, you need to pull, you need to hold back a little bit. You know, man, do you know what the creativity we kill? This is why the church is on the back burner of the music industry. Praise and worship and the Christian music has come a long way. But you go back to the 80s. When Christian music really started picking up, if you didn't sing about Jesus all the time, well, you weren't Christian. You were ungodly heathen. And the truth of the matter is, I was listening to a song by Skillet the other day. And I got to tell you, one, they don't care what you think about them. They're going to be who they are. That song that they were singing, "Will You Be There?"
more to me than I'm running. He's more than enough. Those are great songs. I'm not knocking them, okay? We're finally starting to come up because we're saying, how about you let your creativity go? A guy lets his hair grow out. Oh my goodness. Paul said to keep your hair short. Why? He was a stinking Roman. And I don't say that in a bad way. That's just the Marine coming out. We say stinking in a lot of things. Who cares if your hair touches your ankles? I don't. I just don't recommend you go riding a horse through apple trees and things of that nature. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and read about Absalom. His long flowing locks got him into trouble. Your hair length doesn't matter. So, if I'm trying to be, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I am not 15 to 35. Okay? There's certain styles I like, and I like what I like, and I wear what I like. Ta-da! And I don't care if you don't like it. I'm going to be true to myself. And I want, you know, Michelle, I love your hair. I love seeing stuff like this. Oh, it's got different colors. It's of the devil. Oh, for crying out loud. Let's get past that. And I'm getting off on a whole nother soapbox. But listen, I'm not trying to relate in everything to my sons. I'm the dad. I dress how I want to dress. They make fun of it. So what? What if they quit making them stupid lounge pants with crotches that deep and legs, for a small waist, you got to have legs that long. I mean, come on, anybody else know what I'm talking about? So you got to hike them way up here and then roll them down. And you're still walking on your pajama bottoms. I'm already wearing smalls. That's the problem. Or they package, if you got to wear a large shirt, you got to wear large pants. Really? For crying out loud, there's four of me could fit in those large pants. And I'm coming to the point where I've realized that, you know what, my pajamas feel a little more comfortable up here. I don't care if I look like Poindexter. All right, let's stand. We have digressed. Like I said, we will continue on some things about the Bible. I will share, and I'm going to tell you right now, I already know that I'm probably stirring things up in people. Things you thought you put down. Well, if I'm stirring them up, then you obviously haven't put them down. And so maybe God can help you grow. And just so you know, people can change if they want. If they want. If they don't want to change, they ain't changing. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to remind you again, we do have food next door, and I'm pretty sure we got plenty of chicken legs. They're good. Yeah, hopefully. They've been sitting for a little bit. But the preacher didn't go long today. So anyhow, I'll bless the food here, and you know how we do it. Amen. Father God, we thank you and we praise you. Father, first off, that if we would take the time to actually read the stories and let you reveal the truth of who you are to us, Father, that we would see that you really are a loving God. That your desire for us is good, and that from time to time you do have to discipline. And that while we think you revel in it, Father, it really, truly does break your heart. That if we would just obey, there would be no sacrifice. Father, I thank you for these people today. Lord, I bless them. I know the roads were not in any way, shape, nor form in good shape when they came out. But Father, I thank you that they did anyhow. Father, I bless them today as they go about their activities, as we eat. Lord, we thank you for this food we're about to eat, Father. We pray that you bless it. And Lord, bless this time of fellowship as well. Father, I thank you again for these people. I bless them, Lord. I pray that you lead them and guide them this week. Father, every step they make, I pray, Lord, that doors that need to be opened are opened and doors that need to shut are shut. In Jesus' name, amen.